I'd like to introduce Brother Bob Berry. And as I mentioned before, this is the first time I've met him tonight. Now, many of you know him. The kids told me, these three told me on Sunday, well, yeah, he's our Bible teacher. And then Hannah told me Sunday as she was going out, well, he's been to our school a couple of times and spoke at chapel. And then Jordan, you know him. And so, and I know many of the adults do as well. And he's going to come and talk to us about his ministry, talk to us about how we could get more involved.
Most of you, I don't have any clue what your job is, but I'm convinced I have the best job in the world. Actually, it's a ministry to boys and girls. And when I think about what my job is, it reminds me of Christmas. Because I have five kids. They're all grown up now. But I, going through all those Christmases, my wife loves Christmas. She goes all out. By the way, I wish she could be here with me. Her name is Carol. She is quite a helpmeet. She's working with the youth in our church tonight, so she can't come with me. But she loves Christmas. And we go all out for Christmas. And all those Christmases, it was my privilege as a dad, Christmas morning, sit around the Christmas tree, read the Christmas story, then sing Happy Birthday to Jesus, and then have prayer. And then it was my job as a dad, privilege, to go to the Christmas tree, reach under, and take that first gift. And I'd read whose name was on it. Five kids sitting there waiting. Never once, out of all those Christmases, never once, when I read the name on that present, never once did that person whose name was on it say, "Dad, that's okay, my sister can go first." Never happened once in all those Christmases. Never once. You know what that shows me? Boys and girls love to receive gifts. And my privilege as an RBM missionary is to offer boys and girls a gift. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. That's my job. Every day, offer boys and girls a gift. What a privilege. Now you say, "Uncle Bob, how do you do this? How do you offer them this gift?" Two main ministries we have. Summertime vacation Bible schools in area churches, 5 days. During the school year, release time Bible classes. Now, a lot of you may not know what is a release time Bible class. So I wrote down the 15 most commonly asked questions about release time Bible class. First of all, what is it? Let me read to you. Release time Bible class is possible because of a law in Michigan. What release time is, we go to the public school. Boys and girls can be released during school day, during school hours, to go to a nearby church like yours for a Bible instruction. It's a law. You say, what does the law say? I'll read you the law. It says, "The Board of Education, upon written request of the parent, shall release from attendance at the public school any child to attend religious instruction classes not to exceed 2 hours per week." Wow. Open door. 2 hours a week, they can be released. If the parent signs a form saying, "I want my child released for this purpose." Now, our classes, we do our classes once a month. The law says you can do it 2 hours a week. We do ours once a month, approximately an hour. Depends how far we're transporting them. Now, people ask, what ages are involved in this? Our classes are for elementary schools because all of our materials are geared for kindergarten through sixth grade. What time of the day is this class held? Every school's different. Some of my classes are in the morning. Some of my classes are in the afternoon. I work with the school officials to set a time. When will the class be for your school? Okay? How often do students go to release time Bible class? We start in October, go through April, so we have 7 classes in a school year. Once a month, 7 months. So we see them 7 times. How does the school know which students are to be released? We provide the school with a form like this. This is the one from Montrose. Has my picture on it with this visual aid. And this tells the parent what is release time Bible class. It explains it very clearly. And has a place right here. If they want their child to be released, they put the parent's name, the child's name, put their name and address. If they return that to the school office or school teacher, if the school sees the parent's signature, that child's name, that child will be released. They have to have this on file. That's the law. So we provide these so the parents can sign it, have the child take it back to school. If the child doesn't turn this in, they can't be released. It's that simple. How long is each class? Depends how far we transport the kids. At Montrose, we transport them a short distance. We have an hour and 10 minutes. Some places I have an hour and a half if I'm transporting them farther. So it gives us time to transport them. So it depends how far we're transporting kids. How do the students get from the school to the church? Usually a church bus or a church van. Some churches don't have a church bus or church van. So I have sources. Other churches will let me borrow their vans or buses to use in other places. So I do that quite a bit now. Another question people ask, how many students attend Release Time Bible class? My smallest class this year is in Millington and Vassar. Each place has about 25 students. That's our smallest class. Our largest class this year, Fulton Schools, that's over by Carson City, about 20 miles west of Chesning, right on 57, Fulton Schools, 160 kids come every month. So we have two classes there, actually. Another large class, Little Town of Ashley. That's on the other side of Chesning as well. That is our biggest class by percentage. Small class D school. From K to 6, they only have like 165 students in the whole school. Out of 165, we get 140 for Bible class. You say, why so many? That's a big percentage, 140 out of 165. When I go to that school and the kids come for Bible class, there's only two or three kids left in the room. Why so many? Can't explain it. RBM Ministries has been in that school for probably 50 years, and it's just tradition. Everybody goes to Bible class. Just tradition. So other examples of size of classes, Chesning has four elementary schools. We have four classes, total of 140 kids in four classes. Montrose, we have two schools, two classes, total of 70 kids. Lapeer, we have five schools coming the same hour. We have 85 students. Flushing, I was there today, Flushing, four schools, one class. Today we had 101. We had two buses and three vans picking up kids, 101 total. Bay City, two schools, one class, 45 students. The grand total, our goal this year, our goal for 1 month is 1,600. Back in January, we had 1,587. We're getting close to our goal of 1,600 in 1 month. How many school districts have Release Time Bible class? I live in Chesning. This year, I'm in 25 school districts. You say, where all do you go? Well, I wrote down most of them. St. Charles, Swan Valley, Hemlock, Merrill, St. Louis, Alma, Ithaca, Ovid-Elsie, St. John's, Fulton, Breckenridge, Gladwin, Reese, Twining, and Birch Run. Those are most of them. 25 school districts. Okay? What kind of kids come to Release Time Bible class? All kinds. And I literally mean all kinds. Well-behaved, some not so well-behaved, church kids, unchurch kids, all kinds. In fact, I always tell people, I was at, I think it was Birch Run several years ago. It was October, the first class for the year. So the first graders had never met me yet. And I was lining them up in the school hall, and this first grade girl was standing there crying. So I asked her, why was she crying? And she said, "I'm scared." I said, "Why are you scared?" You know what she said? She said, "I've never been in a church before." That wasn't in Africa. That wasn't South America. That was your backyard. Never been in a church before. I'm safe in saying a lot of our classes, 50% are unchurched kids. Easy. That's sad. All they're getting is what I give them once a month. Wow, what a privilege. What a responsibility I have. That's all they're getting. You say, if they don't go to church, why do parents let them come to Bible class? Good question. I think sometimes parents, it sort of soothes their conscience. They know they should be taking them, but at least we'll let them do this. Let them off the hook, maybe. I don't know. What do we do in an actual Bible class? We pick them up at school, bring them to a church like yours. What do we do in class? Three parts: song time, Bible story time, and Bible game time. The kids love it. We keep things moving. They love it. What curriculum do we use for release time Bible class? RBM Ministries headquarters in Kalamazoo. We have artists and writers making curriculum for us. A couple years ago, we had a curriculum that was called God's Word Says. Each month, we added to that phrase. Like, God's Word says, seek God first. God's Word says, be humble. God's Word says, be a giver. God's Word says, be strong in the Lord. Each month, we added to that phrase. This year, we're teaching, we please God by... How do we please God? We please God by praying. We please God by giving ourselves. We please God by giving to others. We add to that phrase every month. Now, another question people ask: what is the local church's part in doing a release time Bible class? First of all, of course, a building that's heated and lighted. Second would be transportation. Third would be helpers. I will not do a release time Bible class by myself anymore. Years ago, we would. But now we can't take a chance of accusations being made against us alone with kids. Have to have somebody with us. Also, because of emergencies, I don't want to drive a bus full of kids by myself. I got to have somebody with me. So helpers is a main part of a local church's what we need. We probably need an adult for every 10 kids we plan to have. Is a good figure. Okay? Flushing this afternoon, I had 101. I must have had 14 helpers sitting with the kids. So helpers, a building, transportation, helpers. We also need people. If I give an invitation for salvation, like at Flushing today, we had 12 or 14 respond. I'm teaching the kids. I can't deal with them. So the helpers took them to different parts of the building and dealt with them for salvation. That's why we need helpers. We ask the church to consider financial support of the RBM missionary. We are a faith mission. We don't make a charge. We're a completely total faith mission for 75 years. The Lord is taking care of us through churches, individuals who support us as missionaries. Just like a missionary going to Africa, each missionary raises his support. Do students accept Christ in release time Bible classes? I got to give you this example. This happened a couple months ago, but it's as fresh in my mind as if it happened yesterday. I was at that school, Ashley, I mentioned. It was December 18th, last day before Christmas break. I was there in the morning for a Bible class. The rest of the day was going to be Christmas parties. And I thought to myself, man, these kids are going to be flying high. They won't be listening to a Bible story. I couldn't believe it. One class that morning were second and fourth graders, about 50 of them. They came from the school. They sat down. I gave them the story from Luke 2, the Christmas story. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You could hear a pin drop as I gave the Christmas story. And I got the part of the story where it said, "The angel said to the shepherds, 'Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I explained what a Savior is. Why do we need a Savior? Explain it very clearly. Got to the end of the story. I said, now Jesus could be your Savior. If you're going to get into heaven, he must be your Savior. And you can accept him today. If you'd like to accept him into your life as your Savior, with their heads bowed and eyes closed, I said, if you want Jesus to be your Savior, you can just slip out of your seat, go to the back, someone will take you and show you how you can pray and ask him into your life. When I gave the invitation, eyes were closed, I noticed a lot of those kids were peeking. Is anybody going back? No one did. So I closed with prayer. Soon as I said amen, the amen wasn't out of my mouth hardly. A fourth grade boy, halfway back, halfway standing and halfway sitting, he gripped the pew in front of him and he blurted out, Uncle Bob, is it too late to go back? And I said, no, it's not. As he stood to go back, 24 kids stood with him, made their way to the back. 24. And that's not the end of the story. A loving pastor's wife took him downstairs and she said, Uncle Bob, when they sat around me, you could hear a pin drop. They were as serious as could be. That day, 24 kids accepted the greatest Christmas gift you could ever receive. What a privilege. But that story doesn't end. I should say this. Kids who do accept Christ, that's just the beginning. If they accept Christ, we get their name and address. We give it to the pastor of that church so he can make sure, are they in church somewhere? Are they in Sunday school anywhere? And we also, as a mission, follow them up through the mail. We have 6 lessons they get in the mail. 6 lessons that show them what's it mean to be a Christian. Super lessons which help them grow as a babe in Christ. They send them back and forth in the mail, the answer sheet. If they finish all 6, they get an award like a Jesus video if they finish all 6. We make sure we follow up on the boys and girls. What are the benefits of a release time Bible class to a local church? I've heard lots of stories of pastors saying, last Sunday, guess what happened? We had a family walk in. We didn't know them from Adam. And we asked them who they were, and they said, our boy or our girl said, we should go to church Sunday. And the parents said, where should we go? Guess what the kids said? Let's go where Uncle Bob takes us. And that's why they came. The benefits of a release time Bible class are so big. Think of that today in Flushing, 101 kids. The church got those names and addresses of 101 kids. Imagine all the families represented the church had access to. The sky's a limit. How many new contacts are available through release time Bible classes. Now, maybe you're asking, if we were interested in starting a class for Clio schools, what would have to be done? First of all, a lot of prayer. Okay? Prayer for what? Pray for wisdom and guidance to know which school maybe should come here for release time Bible class. There's 3 schools. I had my daughter look it up on the internet. And she said, I know where one of these schools is. Edgerton, is that the way you say it? Is across from Walmart. That's Edgerton. Then there's Garner, which is North Clio Road. I'm sure that's south of here, right? And then is it LaCure Elementary? That's on North Lewis Road. That's south of here too, I assume, right? Okay, there's 3 schools. What's that? Okay. So you need to pray that we would, I guess you need to really pray that we would maybe, if you all, you need to start asking questions. Do we know anybody in these 3 schools? Do we know any of the teachers? Do we know any principals? Do we know anybody in these schools? Because the one to start with would be the one where we have some contact already. We know some people in one of these schools. So pray about wisdom and guidance and asking, finding out who's who and what school. We'd have to go to the school officials, the superintendent first. We have an official written request to start a Released on Bible class. We give, the pastor and I would go and give it to the superintendent. Official request to start Released on Bible class in Clio schools. Superintendent first, you need to pray, start praying. I don't even know his name or her name. Pray that they would be receptive. You say, doesn't the law say they have to? Yes, they have no choice. But still, these days, they can find loopholes. We need to pray that the school officials would be receptive. Pray that parents, a big request would be pray that once approval was given to start the class, that the school would give these out for us. That is a biggie. Most of my schools do. I think 24 out of 25 districts give these out for me. That's a biggie because if they don't give these to the students, unchurched people don't know about it. So that's a big prayer request. Pray that the school would give these out for us. And of course, pray that helpers would volunteer to help in the class. So those are some things to pray about regarding your release time here in your backyard. My time is going quickly. I want to show you this. Before I go any farther, maybe I've covered a lot of stuff in a few minutes. Maybe you have a lot of questions. If you have a question, just raise your hand, and I'll try to answer it. Any questions, just raise your hand or shout out your question. Anything I've tried to cover a lot in a few minutes. Any questions? Right.
You know who you got.
The school will collect these as they come in. The school will make a list to give to the teachers so teachers know who to release. They give me a list, and before they get on my bus or van, I check their names for attendance. I'm required by law to do that. Yes. Yep. Make sure. Yes.
Is there a particular reason why 7th through
12th? The law is there for any age. But our materials are all geared for elementary. And my schedule's full of just elementary. But the law's there for a youth pastor, for high school, junior high. I think it is a little bit more difficult for junior high, high school, because those kids are all different schedules. They're moving classes, changing classes. Elementary kids are all together, a little bit easier for scheduling. But the law's there for any age. But all of our materials are geared for elementary. Yeah. And, of course, you all know the statistics of people getting saved. A lot better chance when they're young. As they get older, it gets less and less. And now's the time to reach them when their hearts are tender. That's for sure. That's for sure. Good. Yes, I had that written down. In fact, so far this year in release time, we have seen 240 since October. So, that's, yes.
And if we were to start one in the schools, would you be the leader?
Yes, I would be the one because I live in Chestnut, so I'd be the closest. Yep, yep. In fact, I've often driven through, well, not driven through Clio, but it's a shame I'm in Montrose, which is, 10 miles away. Why not come to Clio? It's so close. And I've always thought about it and never had the interest. And now I've got the interest from you all, so we need to pray. We need to pray. This visual aid I have back here is what we use in teaching kids. And you don't need to turn to it, but this story comes from Luke 5. Let me read to you the last verse of the story. It says, "And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" Isn't that an interesting verse? The people in the crowd said, "We've seen strange things today." What they saw was, I tell the kids, this Bible story is about four men, and I say these four men weren't normal. I say these four men were above normal. These four men were so unusual Jesus came to their town. And these men, I say, were not normal, because most men, when Jesus came to their town, most men would have been thinking, what? He's finally coming to my town? I'm taking off work that day. I'm going to get the front seat and see him. These four didn't do that. Instead of thinking of themselves, these four guys said, that sick man we know needs to get to Jesus. This man had palsy, which means he was like paralyzed. He couldn't move. Lay on his bed, couldn't use his arms or legs. He was totally helpless. His only hope, if I can get to Jesus, he'll heal me. And these four men said, we can do it. They were so unusual, these four men. They went to his house and said, we're taking you to Jesus. They didn't just pray for him. They didn't just send him a card. They said, we'll take you to Jesus. Now, the Bible doesn't say in Luke 5, doesn't say how far they had to carry him. Doesn't say what the weather was like. These four didn't care. All they cared is, we got to get him to Jesus, no matter what. They picked him up, bed and all. These four men knew where Jesus was. They knew Jesus was in a house, and they knew there'd be a crowd. Because where Jesus was, there's always a crowd. And I think by the time those men got to the house where Jesus was, it probably looked more like this. No way you're going to get a bed through to Jesus. This guy's on a cot. But again, these guys weren't normal. Normal men, when they saw this, would have said, sorry, we'll have to take you home. Not these guys. I can hear one of them saying, let's try the side door. They went around to the side door. Guess what it looked like? Same way. One of the guys said, let's try the back door. Guess what the back door looked like? Same way. But again, these guys weren't normal. They didn't say, we'll take you home, try another day. One of the guys said, hey, instead of taking him home, let's take him up on the roof. And the other three probably said, Jesus is not on the roof. He's down here. And the guy says, I got a plan. And those four said, well, taking him up on the roof is better than taking him home. And I always tell the kids, they want to take him up on the roof, because in those days, your porch wasn't a front porch or a back porch. Those days, your porch was the up porch. Your porch is on the roof. Stairs on the outside of the house going up to the porch. Those guys pushed and they pulled and they shoved. They get him up on the roof. We'll ask these people to step aside and we'll show you what happened. They're on the roof now. Right above Jesus, they can hear Jesus talking to the crowd. And the three guys said to the one guy, now what's your plan? We're up here, he's down there. He said, simple. Just make a hole in the roof, let him down to Jesus. And I tell the kids, making a hole in that roof is not like making a hole in this roof. You didn't need a chainsaw. You didn't need a sawzall. Those days, the roof was very simple. Pieces of tiling or boards stacked on top of each other. You just start lifting them off. And the more you lift off, the bigger the hole gets. And I just imagine as they were taking the roof off, I imagine what was Jesus thinking? What would Pastor think if he's up here preaching Sunday and guys start taking off the roof? Some preachers might get upset. Hey, guys, I'm trying to preach down here. What'd Jesus do? Bible doesn't say. I think he probably just stopped talking and he watched them. And the whole crowd watched as the hole got bigger and bigger. And pretty soon, this is what you had. You got a hole big enough for the bed. Of course, they got some rope fastened to the bed. And they said to the sick man, we're letting you down to Jesus. And carefully as they could, they began to let him down. And as I thought about them lowering the bed, you know what I wished? I wished I could have been a chipmunk in the corner down here watching to see those people's faces when they saw this bed coming. I'm sure they were surprised. They kept lowering him down to Jesus. And as they kept lowering him down to Jesus, the people in the crowd were probably thinking, oh boy, here comes another miracle. A lot of people were there for that reason, just to be entertained. Oh boy, here comes another miracle. When he gets in front of Jesus, Jesus is going to touch him. He's going to walk away. Boy, the people thought, here it comes. But if you've read the story before, you know that when he got all the way down to Jesus, Jesus surprised everybody. Jesus didn't touch him. Jesus looked at him and he said, Mister, your sins are forgiven. And when Jesus said that, something very sad happened. There were some men in that crowd. They weren't there because they loved Jesus. They weren't there to see a miracle. You know why they were there? They were there hoping to catch Jesus doing something wrong so they could cast him out of their town. They were there hoping to catch Jesus say something wrong so they could cast him out. And when they heard Jesus say, your sins are forgiven, those men thought, we caught him. Only God has the right, the authority, to say your sins are forgiven. He can't say that. But wait a minute. Jesus is God. But they didn't believe it. So Jesus has to prove he is God. And to prove he is God, he looked at the sick man and said, Mister, pick up your bed and walk. When he said that to him, the sick man didn't look up at his friends and say, guys, you think I should try to walk? No. As soon as Jesus said the words, pick up your bed and walk, the Bible says that man didn't just stand. He didn't just walk. He went jumping, leaping, praising God. Praising God for what had happened. And I think there's lots of lessons from this we can learn. I say to the boys and girls, we need to be like those four men. You talk about joy. When they saw him walk away, do you think they had some joy up there? They sure did. Why? Because they didn't just think of themselves. They thought of others. And I say to the kids in Release Time Bible class, be like those four. Don't just think about yourself. Go back to school. Invite a friend to come with you next month so they can hear about Jesus with you. Don't just think about yourself. Think of other kids who need to hear about Jesus. Be like those four. What a powerful lesson from a story we've heard so many times. And I have the privilege, day after day, of sharing the Word of God with boys and girls. What a privilege. And who knows what can happen in Clio. I don't know how many kids are in these three schools. A lot of kids. A lot of homes represented. So would you please pray the Lord will guide your pastor, your leadership in your church, what to do. I'm available. We need to pray, okay? Just pray that God will guide in what to do next. Also, I would love for you to come join us. RBM has been in existence for 75 years. This is our 75th anniversary this year. And we're having a special banquet in Chesting Middle School. No charge, no tickets, just a delicious meal you'll love and a special program to celebrate God's faithfulness. I'm going to leave this with Pastor, a sign-up sheet. We'd love to have at least 20 of you come join us for that night. Chesting Middle School, 6:30, April 13th. That's a Tuesday night, April 13th. We'll give this, you can put it back on the bulletin board somewhere. We'd love to have you come join us for that special night. It's going to be a really exciting night together. Let's have a word of prayer together, can we? Thank you for your time. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for letting me share tonight with these folks here. Thank you that this church is a lighthouse in Clio. May it continue to be so. I pray for the pastors, you would guide them, the leadership, guide them in these important days as we reach this community for you, Lord. So again, thank you for letting us share with these folks tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.